إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، فنحن ولله الحمد في الأسبوع الثاني من شرح كتاب العقيدة الواسطية للشيخ الإسلام بن تيمية، وشرحه فضيلة الشيخ محمد بن صالح بن عثيمين رحمه الله، وكل ما نفعله هو الترجمة إن شئت، وهذا كله بفضل الله عز وجل أولا وآخرا، وليس لنا من الأمر شيء. This is a continuation of the شرح of the book known as Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah. And the reason why it was called Al-Wasitiyah, because the person who posed the question was from the city of Wasit. He came and asked the Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. He told him that back where I'm coming from, people have started to talk too much about the names and attributes of Allah. So I would like you to compose a letter or answer what is the correct belief of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the saved sect, the one group that is not deviated from the path. So he wrote this letter mentioning verses and narrations from the Prophet ﷺ explaining the belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Now, who are Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah? Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is whomever accepts the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ according to the understanding of the companions in the first three generations of Muslims. Why? Because the Prophet, peace be upon him, informed us that in the future, and his ummah, this is from the knowledge that Allah gave him, that they will divide and that there will be innovations and the people will change things. So you have to know where the truth is. And the truth is with those who followed the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will see exactly what is intended as we go further in the book bi-idhnillah azza wa jal. And we have left off last week, we had broken down the three categories of Tawheed: Ar-Rububiyya, Al-Uluhiyya, Wal-Asma' Wal-Sifat. And we were still dwelling with the Tawheed Ar-Rububiyya, and we struck some examples, and that Allah is the only Lord, because He has the dominion, the ownership, He owns everything, heavens and the earth, everything between them, everything. Allah owns it. He Azza wa Jal creates, the only true creator. And everybody else who creates, He's creating, recreating something Allah has already created. You're really changing the status or the state of something from one to another. Like you create a door, but you're using the wood that Allah created. You cannot create wood. You know what I'm saying? Because Allah often in the Quran mentions that other people create, but their creation is limited. But the creation in the ultimate sense, from scratch as they say, belongs only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we mentioned the verse in Surah Al-Hajj about Allah challenging the creation to create, that they will not be able to create even a fly, even if they came together to create one fly. And that even if the fly was to take something away from them, they will not be able to retrieve it. And this is an indication about their weakness.
What verse is it?
This is verse number 73 in Surah Al-Hajj. Now, we will continue from where we left off. Now, the Shaykh, rahimahullah ta'ala, he was explaining that verse in particular, and he said, "الَّذِينَ," and this is here dealing with the grammar, ism mawsool, يَشْمَلُ كُلَّ مَا يُدْعَى من دون الله من شجر وحجر وبشر وملك وغيره. كل الذين يدعون من دون الله لن يخلقوا ذبابا ولو اجتمعوا له. الذين is basically saying this is a name which includes everything that is being called, is a name that is here in reference to everything that is being called besides Allah. Whether it's a tree, whether it's a stone, whether it's a human, an angel, or what have you, anything. That all of these things that they are calling besides Allah, they will not be able to create flies. You know the fly, the little thing that comes on your food, on your chicken, or whatever you're eating. even if they were to come one another, help one another in doing so. ولو انفرد كل واحد بذلك. And even if each one of them was to do it individually, لكان عجزه من باب أولى. His disability or lack of ability is even more so. يعني if all the people came together, those who are there worshiping besides Allah, if all of them came together, وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله, so they could create a fly, and Allah says you will not be able to do it, then how about each one individually? يعني, I'll strike an example. We want to move this cabinet. If all five of us right now went and tried to move this cabinet, we were not able to do it together. So what do you think about one of us on his own? يعني his power, his full strength, along with four other people are not able to move it. So one on his own is even more rough. Hey. And if the fly was to take something away from them, they will not be able to retrieve it. This is ajeeb. Ajeeb. You really think about it, it's puzzling to the brain. Yani how weak the creation is and how mighty Allah is. All of these gods, get the image of Jesus. Yaqi, get Jesus himself, those who have taken him as a god. He can't do nothing by the will of Allah. He is under the affair, the tadbir, the arranging of the affair of Allah. He's under the ownership of Allah. He's a prophet, he's a messenger, but who created him? Who arranged his affairs? Who is responsible of him? Allah Azza wa Jal. Get all of these things that they worship besides Allah. Okay, from Buddha, cows, the gods are many, the sun and the moon and what have you. Let them come together and bring one fly. No way. Fine. Let's say they're all sitting in one room and a fly flew by, came in, they were eating some fruit, it came, sucked some lemon juice and went away. Get the juice back. But they are gods to the people. And they ask him for things. I want this, I want that. My son is sick, he needs healing. You know, my wealth is low, I need more money. I want paradise, I want peace, I want salvation, I want. And this thing can even bring some food back from a fly if it took it. And you're asking it all these things. La ilaha illallah. Subhanallah. So the Shaykh says, حتى الذين يدعون من دون الله لو سلبهم الذباب شيئا ما استطاعوا أن يستنقذوه من هذا الباب من هذا الذباب الضعيف. يعني as they say, those who are they calling besides Allah, if the fly was to steal something away from them, they will not be able to retrieve it from them from this weak fly. A fly is weak, you go like this and it's dead. And he says, and if the fly was to land upon the strongest king on earth, and if it was to suck something from his belongings, whatever it is, this king with all his authority and power will not be able to get it back from this fly, from this little fly. And the same thing if it had fallen on his food. فَإِذَا اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ هُوَ الْخَالِقُ وَحْدًا. So Allah is the only creator. You can't create no flies, you can't create nothing, let alone a fly. فَإِنْ قُلْتَ كَيْفَ تَجْمَعُ بَيْنَ قَوْلِكَ إن الله منفرد بالملك وبين إثبات الملك للمخلوقين مثل قوله تعالى أو ما ملكتم مفاتحه سورة النور آية 61 إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم سورة المؤمنون verse 6 I will break it down. سورة النور 61 and سورة المؤمنون verse 6. Of course there are many verses in the Quran that are given the same meaning, but this is just to mention it. The Shaykh said, again, remember how we established the first khalq. We said that Allah is the only creator, but then the style of the Shaykh in explaining is very swift. He will strike what somebody might say and he will explain it beforehand. So the same way we said that Allah owns everything, he said, what if somebody comes and said, how do you bring relation between saying that only Allah owns everything and then the fact that Allah said in the Quran that other creation also have ownership of things, such as the statement of Allah, أو ما ملكتم مفاتيحه, or that which you own the keys to. طيب, because I think this verse was dealing with homes, not entering upon homes and things along these lines. Nevertheless, or the, here the keyword is ملكتم, from ملك, you owned. Or the other verse, إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ. The beginning of the verse is وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ, those who protect their private parts, إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ, except in the presence or with their wives or that which their right hand possess, that which their right hand owns. Here Allah confirmed ownership for the creation. Now, how do you bring a relation between saying Allah is the only owner, and then you own your car, you own your clothes, you own, yeah, you own things. Inevitably, you own a land. But the Shaykh says there's two ways to bring a relation between both. الأول أن ملك الإنسان الشيء ليس عاما شاملا لأنني أملك ما تحت يدي ولا أملك ما تحت يدك والكل ملك لله عز وجل فمن حيث الشمول ملك الله عز وجل أشمل وأوسع وهو ملك تام. He says first, verily that the owner of the human for something is not an encompassing kind of ownership. It is not يعني in its ultimate sense, because I only possess that which is under my hand. This is my phone, I don't have your phone. So although I own something, I don't have the kind of ownership that of Allah's. Allah Azza wa Jalla owns everything. My phone, your phone, me, you, everything. But I only own whatever is within me. And this is one way to look at it. The ownership of Allah is in its absolute sense. It encompasses everything. الثاني أن ملكي لهذا الشيء ليس ملكا حقيقيا أتصرف فيه كما أشاء وإنما أتصرف فيه كما أمر الشرع وكما أذن المالك الحقيقي وهو الله عز وجل ولو بعت درهما بدرهمين لم أملك ذلك ولا يحل لي ذلك فإذا ملكي قاصر وأيضا لا أملك فيه شيئا من الناحية القدرية لأن التصرف لله فلا أستطيع أن أقول لعبد المريض ابرأ فيبرأ ولا أستطيع أن أقول لعبد الصحيح الشحيح امرض فيمرض ولكن التصرف الحقيقي لله عز وجل. The Sheikh said the other thing here is, the other way to explain this is that the ownership that I have for something is not an absolute ownership where I could do with it whatever I want. Rather, I am subdued by that which has been legislated. I have to go with the shari', with the legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the true owner had legislated, which is Allah Azza wa Jal. So I cannot sell 1 riyal for 2 riyals. I cannot give you 1 riyal and take from you 2 riyals as a business transaction, because I do not have the right to do this, because it's haram. So it's not really ownership, because you are subdued to the legislation of Allah. If I were to do that, I would be gaining sin. What kind of ownership is that? That's deficient. Nah? And also, I do not possess any ownership in terms of qadr, from the will of Allah, the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah arranges these affairs. And I cannot, for example, say, although like you may own a slave, let's say at the time of slavery, or in the case that a slave was possessed during the legitimate jihad between the Muslims and the non-Muslims, and there were some captives, and they became slaves. Tayyib, assuming that this is the case. If he was sick, you cannot say to him, become well. You can't. If you want him to become well and he's sick, he's going to stay sick. Huh? Unless Allah wills that he becomes. Same thing with the children. If you want to consider your children as your own possession, because it is. The Prophet ﷺ said that you and everything you possess belongs to your father. Because you are a possession of your father in a sense. Tayyib. If you were sick, he cannot give you healing. So although he may own you in a sense, he doesn't own you in this ultimate sense. That kind of ownership belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, if somebody was well, you cannot tell him become sick, and he will become sick accordingly. This is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, azza wa, only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Na'am. So this is the other way to look at it. Tayyib. As for the third quality, because remember we said that Tawheed al-Rububiyyah is recognized by three qualities that are three predominant qualities. Khalq, creation, mulk, ownership, tadbir, arranging affairs. The third one here is أما التدبير فللإنسان تدبير ولكن نقول هذا التدبير قاصر كالوجهين السابقين في الملك ليس لكل شيء أملك التدبير فيه وإنما أملك تدبير ما كان تحت حيازتي وملكي وكذلك لا أملك تدبيره إلا على وفق الشرع الذي أباح لي هذا التدبير. Likewise you say about arranging the affairs, you have the ability to arrange the affairs, but it is limited and it is deficient. The same way we mentioned about the mulk and creation. Because you can only arrange the affairs of that which is under your possession. Things that are beyond you, you have nothing to do with them. For example, you cannot come and change the whole world right now and arrange the affairs of the whole world, give everybody a duty and an assignment and change the whole universe. You can't. You may be able to deal with things at home, say, okay, from now on we're going to do this way, and we can change things within your own ownership, but you cannot go beyond that. This is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, I can only arrange the affairs according to what the shari', what the legislation has allowed me. I cannot transgress because I do not own that. وحين أذن يتبين أن قولنا إن قولنا إن الله عز وجل منفرد بالخلق والملك والتدبير كلية عامة مطلقة لا يستثنى منها شيء لأن كل ما أوردناه لا يعارض ما ثبت لله عز وجل من ذلك. So we say that our statement that verily Allah عز وجل is the only one who possesses the creation. He's the only one who possesses the creation and the ownership and the tadbir and arranging the affairs is in an absolute ultimate sense, in the most absolute ultimate sense, with absolutely no exceptions to that. Now, al-qism al-thani, tawheed al-uluhiyya. Now we finish with tawheed al-rububiyya, now we go to tawheed al-uluhiyya. Wa huwa ifrad Allah azza wa jalla bil ibadah. Who can remind me? Who could remind me what is Tawheed al-Uluhiyya?
Uluhiyya means we have to worship only Allah.
Aywa.
From Ilaha.
From Ilaha. Ahsant. Uluhiyya is derived from the word Ilah. And Ilah is that ma yu'allah. Yani that which is magnified and worshipped. Tayyib. And the people have different aliha. In the Quran, is there only one Ilah? Or are there many mentioned?
Only one.
Did Allah confirm the existence of other aliha? Yes or no? Allah confirmed the existence of other gods. The verses are so many.
Other gods?
Other gods.
Yeah.
But we will explain. Hold on. You're going to say, man, is this a Muslim class? I'm going to leave. No, Habibi, yes. Allah says, Azza wa Jal, وَاسْأَلْ مَنْ أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رُسُلِنَا أَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ دُونِ الرَّحْمَانِ آلِهَةً يُعْبَدُونَ. He told Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, and ask those whom we have sent before you from the messengers, have we ever made besides Allah, gods to be worshipped? Allah called them aliha, called them gods. Very وَلَا تَجْعَلْ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرٍ. And do not make alongside with Allah another god. Verses are too many to enumerate. Where Allah called them gods, but Allah in two verses in the Quran explained to us the reality of this subject matter. One in Surah Al-Hajj and the other one in Surah Al-Luqman. And the verses are exactly the same except with the addition of one word in one versus the other. And this is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقُّ وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ الْبَاطِلِ. And in the other one, وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ هُوَ الْبَاطِلِ. Allah says, verily, because Allah is the true, the God in truth, يعني, the only true God, and that which they call besides Him, يعني, the other gods are batil, are false. So there are other gods, and in terms, in relevance to the people. To the people they are gods, and their titles are gods, but are they gods in essence?
No.
No. This is the difference, so know this. So there are other gods in the Quran, but these gods, arhamukallah. Hold on a second, guys. Now, the right of a Muslim upon a Muslim are many. Among them is that if he sneezes and he says Alhamdulillah, that you say Alhamdulillah. This is among the things that are not optional. Also when he says Salamu Alaikum, returning the Salam. Also not optional. So just so we will know, inshallah. So, they are other gods, but they are not worthy of worship. They are false gods. They are gods according to the people, but in essence they do not. In Surah Al-Furqan, وَاتَّقَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَةً لا يخلقون شيئا وهم يخلقون. Allah says, and they have taken besides Him, يعني Allah, gods. They do not create anything and themselves are created. But Allah called them Aliha. You understand what I'm saying? طيب. So when you say La ilaha illallah, meaning there are no gods, there's no God worthy of worship but Allah. Even in that statement, you use the term ilah. Yes, in reality, in essence, in right, in you understand what I'm saying? The only one who truly deserves worship is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the gods are all over the place. But they cannot do anything. False gods, exactly. Barakallah feek. Then, so, Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, هو إفراد الله عز وجل بالعبادة. It is to single out Allah عز وجل in worship. بأن لا تكون عبدا لغير الله. So you do not become a servant or a slave to other than Allah. لا تعبد ملكا ولا نبيا ولا وليا ولا شيخا ولا أما ولا أبا. لا تعبد إلا الله وحده. You do not worship an angel. Neither do you worship a prophet. Neither do you worship a righteous person, or a sheikh, or a mother, or a father. You do not worship anyone besides Allah. And you single out, فَتُفْرِدُ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَحْدَهُ بِالتَّأَلُّهِ وَالتَّعْبُدِ. You single out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in as a God, in qualities of as being a God, and in your worship to Him. وَلِهَذَا يُسَمَّ تَوْحِيدُ الْأُلُوهِيَّةِ. And this is why it's called the Tawheed of Uluhiyyah. وَيُسَمَّ تَوْحِيدُ الْعِبَادَةِ. And it is also called the Tawheed of worship. The Tawheed of worship. So whenever, بِاعْتِبَارِ إِضَافَتِهِ إِلَى اللَّهُ هُوَ تَوْحِيدُ الْأُلُوهِيَّةِ. When it is being referred back to Allah, it's called Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. When it's being referred back to us, it's called Tawheed al-Ibadah. Because for Allah, the one who deserves worship. For us, the only one we worship. طيب. وبعتبار إضافته إلى العابد هو توحيد العبادة. توحيد عبادة. نعم. والعبادة now, what is عبادة يا أخوان؟ When we say عبادة, يعبدوا إياك نعبدوا وإياك نستعين. أيوة. What is it? There are two pillars for worship. What are they? Worship is based on two pillars.
Quran and Sunnah.
Now I understand what you're saying. Yes, of course. You cannot worship unless, alaykum salam. You cannot worship unless you are referring back to the Quran and the Sunnah. Yes, but the actual worship, yani when you worship Allah, it's based on two things. There are two things that are in your heart at the time of worship.
Ihsan.
Huh?
Ihsan.
No.
Iman.
No, I'm gonna say it. Otherwise, you're going to be here till tomorrow. Salam. هما المحبة المحبة والتعظيم. They are محبة from حب, love, and تعظيم and glorifying or magnifying. To magnify Allah and to love Allah. You with me? أيوة. المحبة والتعظيم الناتج عنهما. Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا. Allah, when He spoke about the messengers and the prophets, He said, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. Verily, they used to hasten and be quick in goodness and doing the good deeds. وَيَدْعُونَنَا, and they call upon us, رَغَبًا, with hope, وَرَهَبًا, with fear. With mahabbah, التعظيم, when you think Allah is Al-Azim, it makes you have fear in your heart from the greatness, because you magnify Allah so much that it causes something in your heart. And Allah has the highest example, but in order to make things smaller, closer, let's say your father, you know how you feel towards your father, right, when he comes in, especially when he's old man, let alone if he's a sheikh. He's a sheikh and the people يعني, honor him, huh? And your father enters, this is your father, that's not any man. There's something in your heart of ta'zeem. And you feel like you feel the haybah that he has. That he has a certain feeling effect on you. You understand what I'm saying? Now, and to Allah is the greatest example. So this is ta'zeem. يعني to have, and you will act a certain way in the presence of your father. You're not going to be a foolish man. You have some sort of respect and some sort of fear that he may be upset with you. He may reprimand you. He may not like the way you're acting. So you act a certain way. This is يعني, something that we know from culture, from religion, يعني, this Islamic before this culture. But even in cultures, even for non-Muslims, unless the person is totally twisted out of their mind, يعني, you have a certain respect towards the older people, particularly your own family members, your grandpa, your uncle, your father, and stuff like that. And mahabba is love. So with mahabba, you have the hope, and with the ta'zim you have the al-ruhba, which is يعني fearing Allah, magnifying Allah so much that you have fear in your heart because of the, not really, because of the majesty of Allah, because of the greatness of Allah. The greatness of Allah makes you feel humble. نعم. فالمحبة تكون الرغبة وبالتعظيم تكون الرهبة والخوف. نعم. So ولهذا كانت العبادة أوامر ونواهي. أوامر مبنية على الرغبة وطلب الوصول إلى الأمر، ونواهي مبنية على التعظيم والرهبة من هذا العظيم. الله أكبر. The Sheikh said this is why the worship is built on two things: commands and prohibitions. Commands, you are commanded to do things, and you are prohibited to do other things. So the command is built upon hope and love of Allah. Allah promises that if you do such, you will get such. طيب. So when a command comes, you carry out the command seeking the love of Allah. Right or wrong? That's why we do the acts of worship. Seeking nearness of Allah, seeking the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with the prohibitions is ta'zeem. You fearfully refrain from doing that which Allah has prohibited as means of magnifying Allah, as means of glorifying Allah. Huh? Because you fear that of violating the limitations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set. See what I'm saying? So that's why the worship, the worship is commandments and prohibitions. Do not approach adultery. Do not approach fornication. Pray. You know what I'm saying? You pray out of love because you want to get close to Allah, and because you love Allah, and you have hope in the mercy of Allah. You do not approach fornication because you are afraid of the punishment of Allah and violating the laws and the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is how mahabba and ta'zeem. And mahabba is with the awamir, commands, wa ta'zeem, magnifying Allah, is with the rahba, wa nawahi, with the prohibitions. Na'am. فيقول الشيخ عز وجل فيقول الشيخ رحمه الله فإذا أحببت الله عز وجل رغبت فيما عنده ورغبت في الوصول إليه وطلبت الطريق الموصل إليه وقمت بطاعته على الوجه الأكمل وإذا عظمت خفت منه كلما هممت بمعصية استشعرت عظمة الخالق عز وجل فنفرت ولقد همت به وهم بها لولا أن رأى برهان ربه كذلك لنصرف عنه السوء والفحشاء فهذه من نعمة الله عليك فإذا هممت بمعصية وجدت الله أمامك فهبت وخفت وتبعدت عن المعصية لأنك تعبد الله رغبة ورهبة. معلش, I'm speaking too much in Arabic, but there's no problem. He says, if you love Allah عز وجل, you will be seeking that which is with Him, and you will seek the ways that will lead you to Him, and you will search for the path that will make you travel towards Him, and you will worship Him in the best way possible. You will do the act of worship in the, waalaikum salam, in the best way possible. Whereas, and if you magnify Allah, you understand what magnify is? يعني to make, يعني you be in awe, A-W-E. You are in awe from the majesty of Allah. It's based on how great Allah is. Due to the greatness, it causes effect on you. The greater the Allah, because of His greatness, it makes you recognize that greatness. So you magnify Allah based on His greatness, which makes you fear Allah. Because if Allah wills, He will make the earth swallow us. If Allah wills, He will make the skies send upon us stones. He will send birds like He did upon the people of the field, the elephant. If Allah wills, He will make the water swallow us. Nobody has nothing. No power, man. Absolutely no power. By the mercy of Allah, nothing happens to us. By the mercy of Allah, we're alive. By the mercy of Allah, we're in a bounty. By the mercy of Allah, we're doing this. So you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Shaykh said, and if you fear Allah, if you magnify Allah, you will fear Him. Every time you're about to disobey, every time you're about to approach the sin, you bring to your heart, you recognize the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal, the greatness of the Creator Azza wa Jal. So you run away from it. And Allah struck the example of, and the Shaykh mentioned the verse in the Quran where Allah told us about the story of Joseph, Yusuf alayhi salam. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا. And she had the intention to do whatever she wanted with him, and he had a similar intention. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until he seen the proof of his Lord, and Allah saved him from this evil path. Right? So when Yusuf alayhi salam recognized in his heart the greatness of Allah and that Allah is looking upon him, although he's a man and the desires come in effect, he held back for the sake of Allah. And you know the narrations from the Prophet ﷺ which proves this particular verse about the three who were went into a cave and that Allah decreed that a stone closed the cave. Among them is a man who liked his cousin. And anyways, I will not discuss this right now because we have some youngsters with us. But you know what I'm saying. Iwa. فَهَذِهِ مِنْ نِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكِ. He said, verily this is from the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. That if you are about to commit a sin, if you are about to commit a sin, you will bring to mind that Allah Azza wa Jal and that He is looking upon you. So you hold back and you are shy and you have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you leave alone the sin. So you worship Allah according to loving Him and fearing Him. And yani, an example, you're driving down a car and you see a woman who's not dressed properly. And nowadays they're all over the place. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from them by guiding them to the true proper dress code. But anyways, so the shaitan wants you to look. And a man can easily look. And this is a sign of heedlessness. Because Allah commanded us to lower our gaze. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Tell the believing men to lower their gaze. You don't be looking at something that is not lawful for you. Now, if you're not thinking about Allah Azza wa Jal, it's easy. You can keep looking. But if you start to look, and then you recognize and you remember that Allah is looking at you, you will feel shy. You will feel shy to see Allah seeing. Allah gave you this bounty, this blessing of this sight, while others are blind, while others are unable to use it. Maybe they need, so thick glasses, very thick glasses that they cannot live without them. And Allah bless you with proper sight. I'm not trying to pick on the brothers with the glasses, you know what I'm saying? I just seen it later. I was going to say the example. I was like, oh, we have two brothers with glasses, three of them actually. Four, but he put them away. Good one. That's a good one, sir. You know what I'm saying. I'm talking about the old school glasses, man. The one that is that thick. Yani a person really, if they take them off, khalas. Anyways, Allah bless us. Even if you wear glasses, somebody's blind. Allah bless us with the sight. How do we get the ni'mah and use it to disobey the one who gave us the ni'mah? Yani it's difficult. We are weak. That's why we will still fall into this particular sin. But then we repent to Allah. But if we thought properly, we will have much less sin. I'm not saying you're going to become a perfect human being. You can never sin because you're always mindful of Allah. Yani if we do this, then we will be like the angels, and that's impossible for the son of Adam. So we will not reach the state, but we will be much lesser. We will have much lesser sins if every time we're about to do a sin, we will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He's watching us. And so this is what ibadah is. فما معنى العبادة؟ العبادة worship تطلق على أمرين على الفعل والمفعول. Ibadah is a title for two things. الفعل, the action, والمفعول, that which is being done. The act of worship and what is being done being called the worship. We will elaborate on what is intended by the way. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله. تطلق على الفعل الذي هو التعبد فيقال عبد الرجل ربه عبادة وتعبدا. It is given as a title for the actual worship or the action. So you say the person عبد الرجل. This is a verb here, past tense. The person worshipped his Lord. The man worshipped his Lord in تعبدا, worship in the sense of worship. This is very difficult to translate from Arabic to English, by the way, because of the various difference between the two languages and the lack of English terminology to meet with the Arabic terminology. So please forgive me if the message doesn't come across. Anyways, وإطلاقه على التعبد من باب إطلاق اسم المصدر على المصدر وتعرفها باعتبار إطلاقه على الفعل بأنها تذلل الله عز وجل حبا وتعظيما بفعل أوامره واجتناب نواهيه وكل من ذل لله عز عز بالله ولله العزة ولرسوله سورة المنافقون. طيب, the Shaykh says, and anyways, worship is humiliating oneself for the sake of Allah. When you worship Allah, this is humiliating yourself for the sake of Allah. Yani, the face right now is the most honorable part of the body. right? This is where we think, this is where we see. It's on top, the way Allah has proportioned the son of Adam versus the animal. You find the animal, the cow, the head and the behind are within a line, within the same, height. The man, son of Adam, as Allah says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيلٍ. We have created the son of Adam in the best form. We are proportioned where the head is on top. And the head is the most honorable part of the body. The most honorable limb is the head. Yet in sujood, we go down on the ground. You may be in a masjid, you may be in the street, where the earth is not, the surface of the earth may not be a carpet. But it cannot be in najas, it cannot be impurity, filth and garbage, but it may be some dust on the ground. But you still put your head, the most honorable part of your body, on the face down, for the sake of, only for Allah. If anybody told you to prostrate to a human being, you would refuse. So no matter who he is, who are you? You will reject to go down and humiliate yourself to this extent for a human being. But we do it with no problem for Allah Azza wa Jal. Actually, those who do the proper salah, and now we fluctuate here. Let's be honest with you. The way we do salah, there's a difference between the heavens and the earth, between individuals, in terms of how we feel the salah. So there are some people who are actually mindful of the salah. They know what they're saying, what they're doing. They know how to magnify Allah in their salah. So when it's time for sujood, their heart tremble. They're excited. They want to go down on the ground. You reach a point where you just want to go down on the ground. And you want to ask Allah. You want to magnify Allah. You want to glorify Allah in the sujood. If you bring this to mind, it will help you understand how we want to humiliate ourselves for the sake of Allah. Now somebody will say, this is when the disbelievers will say, why? Why does God want, they always say, why does God, by the way, as if they are the one who created the creation, so they always have their own opinions and their own statements and their own suggestions. Why does God need you to worship Him? Why does God need you to humiliate yourself for Him? Why and why and why? Now they think that by doing so, you are belittling yourself. Allah says in the Quran, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And to Allah belongs the izzah, the might, and to His messenger and to the believers. So the more you humiliate yourself for Allah's sake, the more He will honor you. So they are seeking honor by being independent from worship to Allah, and all they're getting is humiliation in return. Because the angels curse them, and Allah curses them, and the believers curse them, because they're disbelievers. They reject Allah, they reject His messenger. Whereas the believer who humiliates himself for the sake of Allah, Allah will honor him or her. So it works the other way, and they don't understand that. So you tell the disbeliever, Ma'alish Habibi, don't suggest nothing to God. You may have a problem. You may not understand why would someone want to humiliate himself for the sake of God. Because you haven't been given the gift and the guidance of understanding. We look at it from a whole other angle. To you this is a burden, to us this is an honor. Because the son of Adam, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, ahlan, tafaddalu. Son of Adam will inevitably worship something. You will inevitably worship something, right or wrong? Every person on earth worships something. But it differs depending on their background and depending on the level of misguidance. And those who claim that they are atheists, they don't worship anything, they are worshipping their desires. So they are still worshipping something. Allah says, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَاهُ. Have you seen, Allah's striking example, have you not seen the one who has taken his God as his own his desires as his own God? So people actually take their own desires as a God. So the Christians worship Jesus and the Father of Jesus supposedly, and the Holy Ghost, and whomever saint comes along the line, if he's a Catholic Christian, and then you, what have you. And the Jews worship the Shaitan, and they had another God whom the Jews, man. These are the people who killed the prophets, they killed the messengers, they said Allah is poor and we are rich. Yeah, these people have their own level of misguidance and disbelief. And they are a greatest example of those who the wrath of Allah is upon, and those who worship their desires. And then there are the people who worship the cows, people who worship Buddha, people who worship, you know, the different ideologies all over the world. The sun and the moon, the devil, the rocks, stones. Some people worship the graves. Nonetheless, people worship something. And the one who claims that he worships nothing is actually worshiping his desires. Now, since you being the son of Adam, you have to worship something. Who is the only, who are the group of people on earth who are worshiping the one who deserves worship? The Muslims. The believers. Everybody worships something, but the only people on earth who are worshiping the one who deserves worship are the Muslims. MashaAllah. And everybody else, Allahu musta'an. They are in their own misguidance. And they are their own lack of understanding. But because we're going to worship someone anyways, you are going to worship some object. The only ones who truly worship, the one who deserves worship, are the Muslims who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the Muslims are us, followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who followed Jesus as the messenger of God, those who followed Moses as the messenger of God, those who followed Abraham as the messenger of God, Lut as the messenger of God, Nuh as the messenger of God. Every prophet and messenger who came worshipped, and he called his people to worship Allah alone. They believed in his message, they followed him and worshipped Allah, are Muslims. They submitted to the will of Allah. And the ones who find, the final one is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And no one will remain a Muslim unless he also believes in him and in the Quran. If they reject that, then they have become disbelievers. So, believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly is the quality of the Muslims and the believers. And this is something that Allah has honored us with. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen for the immense blessing that we can never really show true thankfulness. And the Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, I remember him saying in one of his states, he said, wallahi, if one of us was to remain in the state of prostration, sujood, from the time we are created, from the time we are born, excuse me, until we die, wallah, it's not even a down payment for paradise. Or as the Shaykh said, يعني جنة, which Allah has prepared for the believers, and what it has from pleasure and wealth and goodness. If we were to worship Allah in sujood, remain in sujood from the day we're born until we die, it's not even a down payment, ya Shaykh. Not nothing for what Allah has given the believers in return. So we have shortcomings. And it comes in narrations from the Prophet that a righteous man who worshipped Allah all his life died. So Allah Azza wa Jalla said, أَدْخِلُوا عَبْدِي الْجَنَّةِ بِرَحْمَتِي. Permit my servant to paradise with my mercy. So he said, لا بِعَمَلِي. He said, no, with my actions. Allah said, allow him to go to Jannah with my mercy. With my mercy, and the man said, no, with my deeds. I did this. I earned paradise, man. I was working hard, and this is what he's thinking to himself. All my life I'm worshipping, and now I'm just going to be entered into paradise with the mercy of God, and I had nothing to do with it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered that his eye, one of his eyes, be and the bounty of the eye will be weighed on the scale versus his deeds. And this one eye, and the blessing in the eye that Allah has given us from being able to see through it, and learn through it, and study through it, and that ni'mah alone, compared to all of his deeds, wind up flipping the scale over. So then, Allah Azza wa Jal, out of his mercy, gave him another chance. He said, allow my servant to enter into Jannah with my mercy. So then the servant accepted that he will enter into Jannah with the mercy of Allah. So none of us will enter Jannah with his own intelligence, because even the intelligence that we have is something given to us by Allah. So at the end of the day, the fadl, the virtue goes back to Allah. And we are simply receivers. And we need to receive properly. So the Shaykh, rahimahullah, says, he is dealing with the grammar. Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, says, Al-ibadah ismun jami'un likulli ma yuhibbuhu Allah wa yardah min al-aqwali wal-a'mali al-zahira wal-batina. Now what is the definition of ibadah? The scholars have differed regarding the definition. But Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, gave a nice encompassing definition. He says, Al-ibadah, worship, ismun jami'un, is an encompassing word, encompassing term, if you want to use term, لِكُلِّ مَا يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَيَرْضَىٰ, for everything that Allah loves and is pleased with. Now, you might want to write this down. Ibadah is an encompassing word, encompassing term that includes, is an encompassing terms that includes everything that Allah is, that Allah loves and is pleased with. That includes everything that Allah Azza wa Jalla loves and is pleased with. Whether statements, whether statements, not whether like the weather, winter, summer, fall, whether W-H-E-T-H-E-R, whether statements or actions, and whether they are outwardly or inwardly. Yani whether they are apparent to the people or they are hidden.
Yeah.
Whether apparent or hidden. For example, you have ibadah. Who can name a ibadah of the heart? What is one ibadah of the heart?
Love.
Love. Love for who?
Allah.
Aywa. I was about to say. Yeah. What about tawakkul? Rely upon Allah. You don't rely physically. You rely in your heart upon Allah. Then you use the reasons that Allah gave you in the dunya. But the reliance is an act of worship that is in their heart. Now this is hidden from the people. People don't see that you have tawakkul. You may have a large level or degree of tawakkul, but nobody sees it. And an example of the worship that is in the statement is enjoining the good, forbidding the evil, remembering Allah, reading the Quran, what have you. And the actions that are apparent and hidden, as we have struck the example. هذا الشيء الذي تعبدنا تعبدنا الله به يجب توحيد الله به لا يصرف لغيره كالصلاة والصيام والزكاة والحج والدعاء والنذر والخشية والتوكل إلى غير ذلك من العبادات. The Shaykh رحمه الله says, this thing that we are worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal with should be dedicated to, for the sake of Allah alone. No shirk, no partnership with Allah. And nothing should be given or dedicated to other than Him, such as fasting, such as salah, prayer, fasting, charity, zakah, hajj, pilgrimage, dua, supplication, al-nadhr, which is basically the vow. You vow that you will do something or you will not do something, and what have you. Wal-khashya, fear, fear based on knowledge, wal-tawakkul, reliance upon Allah, and other acts of worship. فَإِنْ قُلْتَ مَا هُوَ الدَّلِيلُ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ اللَّهَ مُنْفَرِدٌ بِالْأُلُوهِيَّةِ. The Shaykh has his methodology, rahimahullah, is he always strikes an encountering question. What if somebody told you? Or what if you say, he prepares you for da'wah. What if you say, what is the evidence that Allah is the only one who deserves worship? Anyone wants to help? Find me an evidence from the Quran or the Sunnah that Allah deserves worship alone. Ya Shaykh, if nobody gives me this answer, I might just grab my stuff and leave. Yes? Aywa.
Surah
112. Aywa, barakallah feek. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I've only created jinn, which is the other form of creation made out of smokeless fire, والإنس, the son of Adam, ليعبدون. يقول العلم أي ليوحدون. يعبدون meaning يوحدون. Worship meaning to unify the worship for Allah. For the oneness of Allah. That's what is intended by جزاك الله خيرا by وما خلقت الجنة والإنس إلا ليعبدون. Now the Shaykh mentioned other examples, رحمه الله. He said, فالجواب هنالك أدلة كثيرة. منها قوله تعالى وما أرسلنا من قبلك من رسول إلا نوحي إليه أنه لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدون. There's another verse which is similar to the one that the Shaykh mentioned. We have not sent before you a messenger except that we have revealed to him that there's no God worthy of worship but I, so worship me. Clear like the sun. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ. Allah says another verse. And the verse that I mentioned earlier was Surah Al-Anbiya, verse number 25. You need to memorize this, ya ikhwan. Some verses you have to memorize in da'wah. You have to memorize in Arabic and English if you speak in Urdu if you speak in Chinese. It is very beneficial when you're giving a da'wah to a non-Muslim, even if he's not an Arab, to quote the verse in Arabic first. Huh? Because it has a special effect Because Allah said that this Quran has an effect. This Quran has an effect on the people. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. If we have sent this Quran down upon a mountain, you will see it trembling and it will crush from the fear of Allah. So the Quran has an effect, so quote the verse in Arabic. Then you quote it in the language of the speaker. This is an indication first that you are a learned, knowledgeable person. You understand what I'm saying? 25. Verse 25, Surah Al-Anbiya. No, no, no. The other one is in Surah Al-Dhariyat, verse 56.
51,
56. No, 56. Oh, the number of the surah is 51. Aywa, aywa, aywa. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. You know the number of the surah. Verse 56, surah 51. It's called Al-Dhariyat. Aywa.
Anbiya's verse 25?
25, Habibi.
And surah?
Anbiya. The name, the number of the surah, I don't know. Do you know that one?
No, yeah.
Ah, come on, man. You got to bring the whole thing, not just half of the cake. طيب. So this is important in da'wah, ya akhwan. Why? Because usually when you give a da'wah to another person, he will be evaluating your knowledge. If he sees you like this, he will try to rise. He will try to rise. When he sees you know what you're talking about, you're giving it in Arabic and you're not an Arab, then you're giving it to him in English, he will say, hold on. He will listen. He will not try to talk too much because he knows that you know what you're talking about. So there's a special benefit in learning the verse in Arabic. And these are important evidences in the Quran dealing with the Islam. And when you start da'wah, what do you begin the da'wah with? Let me ask you a question. A non-Muslim comes to you, he says, look man, why can a Muslim man marry four women? What do you do? This is a relative of yours. Let's say it's not a stranger. Let's say this is a relative of yours. Says, why in Islam is a man allowed to marry four women? This does not make any sense to me. This is total injustice. This is crazy. Man having four wives and a woman cannot have none? This is how the Christian or any disbeliever believes because of their lack of understanding. What do you do?
The teachings of the Quran. It's in the teachings of the Quran.
Anyway, he tells you, I don't believe in the Quran. That's the whole problem. If you believe in the Quran, done deal.
Yeah.
Say it's in the Quran, Mathna wa Thulatha wa Raba', case closed. He says, of what Quran? This is man, Muhammad wrote this, man.
Yeah.
He learned this from the priests. So, what do you do?
You can tell him the story, why. You tell him the story, why.
No. What do you do?
You can bring him back to Al-Din.
Aywa.
The main issue is then you can explain it and you can understand it and you worship Allah whatever the word is.
Ahsant. Exactly. Ya akhi Yusuf alayhi salam, when he was put in prison and they came told him, I've seen a dream.
Assalamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Tafadhal ya akhi, tafadhal barak. Allah ybarak fik. Ahlan wa sahlan.
Assalamu
alaykum salam. Huh? When Yusuf alayhi salatu salam, when he was in prison, and the two men, the two prisoners came to him and said, I seen a dream where this, you know, some bird was eating from my head and the other one seen I was pouring some alcohol. What did he say? He didn't tell him, okay, let me tell you an interpretation of the dream. First thing he did was give him da'wah. The first thing he did was give him da'wah about him. He said, look, I came from the group of people who have worshipped others besides Allah. And Allah has bestowed the favors and I followed the religion of my forefathers, Ibrahim wa Ishaq. I followed their footsteps. مَا كَانَ لَنَا أَن نُشْرِكَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. It was not for any one of us to worship anyone besides Allah. This is from the ni'mah and the bounty of Allah upon us on the people, but really most people do not understand. أَرْبَابٌ مُتَفَرِّقُونَ خَيْرٌ. Correct me, صَلِّحْنِي إِذَا أَخْطَأْتُ. أَمِ اللَّهِ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَارُ. Is a bunch of gods better or Allah? The irresistible, the one. First he gave him da'wah, man. Explain to them Tawheed, then he told them, as for your interpretation of your dream, such and such and such. So when a non-Muslim comes and tells you, why can the man marry four women? Say, look Habibi, this is something that you will not understand until you understand the essence. And you strike an example for him. Say, let's say you come to work in a business. Okay, IT business. And you know nothing about IT. You've learned nothing. You don't even know how to use a cell phone. How am I going to come and teach you the details of how to change the settings from Arabic to English? And you don't even know how to turn on a cell phone. Would you understand even if I told you, you know, you go to the start menu and then you click on this and you will see a C, colon, V symbol. When you, he will tell you, what? what are you saying, man? I don't understand. You have to go gradually with the person. Once you have an idea of IT, I could come give you technical terms and we could work with each other. Otherwise, you will not understand what I'm saying. Right or wrong, he will agree with you. Say, yes. Say, how am I going to explain to you the details of the legislation when you don't even admit that it is sent by Allah and that Allah deserves worship alone? So you put that subject aside. You tell him, I'm not running away from you. Believe me, I have a million answers and they all make sense. But I want you to understand things first. Some of these things you will never understand unless Allah guides you to understanding. Because even in Islam, some women don't have the right guidance to understand this legislation. And they reject the legislation of Allah. And they consider, yani, they're within the Muslims. Let alone a person who's not even a Muslim. So you do the da'wah as the brothers, as Allah khairah, mentioned gradually. You have to begin with tawheed. And this is what every prophet and messenger began with. This is what the Prophet ﷺ was calling to for 13 years. 13 years he was calling to tawheed. Alcohol was not made forbidden until the end of the prophethood. Until the people became ready. It wasn't just like that, dropping a bomb on the people, all of a sudden they changed their lives. The Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, went through a gradual phase upon phase as they grew better in iman and understanding until they were ready to give up everything for the sake of Allah. And likewise, you do the da'wah. You explain to the person that this is something within the teachings of Islam. First, I would like to present to you what Islam is and what the purpose of life. And you deal with them from that angle. Then if you want to be out of kindness, explain to them some of the wisdom behind marrying for women. You could do so out of your own kindness. But in essence, the da'wah should begin with tawheed, not with the details of things. Because if you fail to understand, you have lost. If you fail to explain to him and make it, it didn't make sense to him why a man is allowed to have four women, you have lost the da'wah. He will leave thinking that what he's upon is the truth and what you're upon is falsehood. You understand what I'm saying? So this is a dangerous zone. That's why you begin with tawheed, because that's something we all know. We should all know. So these verses, ya akhwan, we need to memorize them. So when we give da'wah, we will be able to use them accordingly. So, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِ إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدُونَ. And in Surah An-Nahl, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ. And we have sent in every nation a messenger. And his message was, worship Allah and stay away from Taghut. Taghut, we said, is everything that is being worshipped besides Allah. طيب? Good. وأيضا قوله تعالى شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط. And also another evidence that we need to memorize is in Surah Al-Imran, verse number 18. شهد الله, Allah bears witness. Now this is a very important shahada. This is the shahada that we give. Allah gives this shahada, this testimony Himself Azza wa Jal. شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو. Allah bears witness that there is no God worthy of worship but He, وَالْمَلَائِكَ, and so do the angels, وَأُولُ الْعِلْمِ, and those who were given knowledge. And those who were given knowledge. All these are evidences that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one that deserves to be worshipped. And the Shaykh says, وَلَوْ لَمْ يَكُنْ مِنْ فَضْلِ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا هَذِهِ الْمِنْقَبَ حَيْثُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَا أَخْبَرَ أَنَّ أَحَدًا شَهِدَ بِأُلُوهِيَتِهِ إِلَّا أُولُو الْعِلْمِ نَسْأَلَ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ. And he said that if there wasn't a virtue for knowledge except this verse, then this will be sufficient, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that no one bears witness to his oneness except Himself, the angels, and those who were given knowledge. And each one of us fall under this category, but we fluctuate based on our knowledge. But you must have knowledge of La ilaha illallah to bear witness to that testimony. So this falls for all Muslims, but the people of knowledge are on the top of the list, because they have the most correct understanding and the most detailed understanding of the statement. There's only a few minutes left for Adhan al-Isha. So with that, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, we will refrain from continuation. And the classes will be held off, or we will stop the classes until after Hajj, inshaAllah. Tayyib, so this will be the last class until, I don't know when. When will it be? Alhamdulillah. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا وعلى محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك, أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت, أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.